I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about how Jesus was destroyed. Jesus says, if this temple of his body was destroyed, he would rebuild it in 3 days. He would be raised back to life in 3 days. But understanding, he was destroyed. In the Old Testament, we see the example when God's leading the people to the promised land. There are several times where God is going to destroy the people. He gets angry with the people because they keep missing the mark. And he's telling Moses, I'm going to destroy these people. I'm just going to take you, Moses. I'm going to bring you to the promised land. And I'm going to destroy the rest of these people. Now, in a similar way, I think we've all missed it in so many ways. But it's understanding that Jesus was destroyed for us. And understanding the difference between destroying and building. Jesus was destroyed for us so that we could become children of God. And it's this interesting thing in the Hebrew language, the word for a son, for the child of God, for a son of God, it actually can be translated as a meaning, which means a builder of the family name. A builder of the family name. Jesus was destroyed so that we could build, that we could be a builder of the family name, to bring God honor and glory for his reputation. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just, focused on worldly things. I was constantly stressed out all the time, just feeling all the weight and pressure of life. And I remember walking around the neighborhood with my wife one day and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. At the time, I was running my personal training gym business, and my business was just in a tough place, kind of very up and down. I was losing money. Some months, thousands of dollars. And I just remember this, thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. And then one day I came across this challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that to the end of the month. At the end of the month, you start back over. You start reading through the Proverbs again. So I started on that journey, and God really began to work on me. He began to renew my mind, began to change the way I think, began to grow a relationship with him. And then one morning, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page of me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of just thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. How do we walk out this life that God has given us? And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals or systems and teaching and training for all the different areas of life, for areas like purpose and health and family and finance, all the different areas of life. And really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. But from the moment I made that commitment, God has been so faithful. My relationship with him just began to grow. He began to teach me and began to train me, began to show me this different way of living. And it's led to this whole program that we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. It's really grown into something bigger than I had envisioned when I first got started. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is the most important thing. It's what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to turn the tables on our life, to change the trajectory of our lives from this point going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. We see over and over in the Old Covenant, God tells the people, don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. It's this opportunity to stir the sacrifice of Jesus into our mind and remembrance and make his sacrifice active and relevant today. To remember our covenant with God. It helps us to abide in him so that we get that culture in our hearts that causes our lives to produce much fruit. Allows us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And I've found that it's this opportunity to take these promises God has made, where all the promises in Christ are yes and amen, to take these amazing promises that God has made for us and to activate them. It's a time to receive them and to activate them and to say, you know what, from this point on, I'm believing I receive this promise from God. I'm going to begin to walk in it in my life. And we can combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull that into our soul, in our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and juice to unite our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and reverence and awe and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through and that God loved us so much. He was willing to send his one and only son. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. He was rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own disciple. He's whipped and spit on and beaten and mocked, nailed to the cross, nails in his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his head, pierced on his side. It said it pleased God to crush him. He was destroyed by God. Really, it was God doing all this. God was the one who destroyed him. I think the worst part is he felt what it was like to have God against him. But then on the other side, he's raised back up to life. He's victorious over death. And that same spirit and power, that same victorious power that raised him from the dead now lives on the inside of us. It lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. We can become these builders of the family name. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I think it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and we can apply it into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us, that he was destroyed for us so that we could build together with you. I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us, so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities, to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. It's our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into the fundamentals today. And how are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact the decisions that we make, the things that we do, the things that we're thinking about, the things that we're speaking today. So let's go through these four fundamentals. Our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we're going to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. It has to happen every day. And this is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And we're going to take our position in the light today. We're going to start with humility. Simple, childlike faith. Jesus says, if you humble yourselves like this little child, that's one of the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith and humility. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. Stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves. And we're going to let that grace and forgiveness flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering. Because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our position is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we get in position, we're stepping into Christ. We're getting in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. Think about a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's throwing the ball over here and the receiver runs the wrong way. He's out of position to receive. To be in position puts us in position to receive all that God has for us. And we're stepping into Christ. And what has God put in Christ? He gave him everything that he has. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. And so this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, it's all available to be received and to get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit of it. So our first step is to get in position to receive it. Our second step is we're going to magnify the light. The first step is like turning on the lights. Second step is like we're going to turn up the brightness of it, like a dimmer switch. And to magnify the light, it's going to make it bigger or greater. We're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that we're repeating over and over again? The things that we're rolling over and over on the inside. And you've probably had the example. We had some issue or problem. And the more you focused on it, the more you meditated on it, the more you talked about it with people, it seemed like the problem just grew bigger and bigger on the inside. Came no closer to the solution. Well, that same principle works with the things of God. The more we magnify the light, the more all that he has on the inside of us just begins to grow, begins to expand. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. And every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. is simply choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those problems. Rather than toiling away in our mind, meditating on the problem, trying to figure it all out, we're going to let it go. We're going to give it to God. And we're going to trust that he's going to bring these beautiful solutions into our life that we could never make happen on our own. We're going to trust that he can solve those problems better than we can. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, insisting on doing everything our own way, and just toiling away in our mind, magnifying the ways people have wronged us, magnifying the things people have done to us, magnifying the issues and problems that we're facing, and just toiling away in our mind rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at people, might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you, like it's all dependent on you rather than God. You might have feelings of hopelessness or powerlessness, helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and the stress and the worry as we're toiling away in our mind. There's dread of the future as we're envisioning all these worst case scenarios out here. There's confusion about which way to go, which direction to take. Because when we're in the darkness, we can't see. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. You feel that faith and the courage and the confidence begin to rise up on the inside of you. You feel his peace and joy and love and his mind and wisdom. It all just begins to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. If we ever miss it, it's just learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today. There is grace for today. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. God, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today. In a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer. You feel that weight lift off you on the inside. You feel the shift on the inside. You'll be right back in the light again. And then our third fundamental, we're going to stay tuned in today. Every day we talk, every day God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. We've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are commitments that we're making to walk in God's ways of doing things, to walk at a higher standard for our lives, to make his standards our standards, to commit to walking by them. And we're going to miss it sometimes, but using them to navigate us throughout the day. So it might look like something like this. Every night at the top of your journal, we have a short phrase that we write. We change it out every month. Might look like something like this. God is working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And then as you go throughout the day and you're tempted to worry or get stressed or fearful about something, you've got this reminder. God's working for my good. I can rest in that. I can stop toiling and trying to figure it all out. Stop stressing over things. He's working for my good behind the scenes, even when I can't see it. And then when someone pushes your buttons throughout the day, gets under your skin or does something that wrongs you, You're tempted to snap at them or retaliate or give them the silent treatment or whatever it may be. You got this reminder, wait a minute, God gives me grace. I'm going to do continually good for other people just like God is doing for me. And it serves as a filter to help us navigate throughout the day and make decisions by. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position and to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question. And so many of these daily communion journals or daily communion meditations come out of just this simple question. God, what were you trying to show me today? And just getting still and listening, whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down as we reflect back over the day. It's important to get out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us, but we got to stay tuned into Him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes to slow down, take a couple of deep breaths, just get aware of His presence with you. And remember, refreshing, we talked about this week, refreshing comes from His presence. Just get aware of His presence with you. It's going to recharge you. It's going to refresh you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. It's going to recharge those batteries in the phone. And then the final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to force things to happen, trying to figure things out. And I'm taking action on things I don't really quite know what to do just yet. And I was getting out ahead of Him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Make out the list of things that I know to do. That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth sets the tone for the whole day. And recently I was seeking God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like He was taking me back to the very beginning of the Bible. And He said, what's the first thing I said in the whole Bible? And it was, let there be light. Let there be light. And so I wake up first thing in the morning. The first words out of my mouth lately are, let there be light. And it's amazing how that just sets the tone for the whole day. I like to say, let there be light. And then I like to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Then we wake up, we get connected with Him and His word, start praising and magnifying Him. Then we walk out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude. Full confidence in Him. And you're aware of those symptoms as you walk out the day. How's my positioning? What am I magnifying? You ever get off track? You just take a minute to slow down, get right back in position again. And when we get to that place of just walking out this plan and just confident faith that He's right there with us every step of the way, His grace just begins to surge through us. It just comes through us in waves. One on top of another, just waves of His grace begin to flow through us. And He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life that we could never make happen on our own. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at some scriptures today. Jesus was destroyed. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 13, Moses is kind of given a recap to the people of their journey so far out of Egypt into the promised land. Deuteronomy 9, 13, and Moses says, and the Lord said to me, I've seen this people. They're stiff-necked people indeed. God says, leave me alone so that I might destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. So these people, you see them on their journey to the promised land, and God tells them, I'm not taking you into this promised land because of your righteousness. I'm taking you into the promised land because of the wickedness of the people who are in the promised land and because of the promise that I made to Abraham. I'm not taking you in because you're the greatest people, because you're righteous or you're great or you're the most prominent people. I'm not taking you in because of any of that. I feel like the same is true for us today. God's not taking us in to what he has for us because we're so great. He's taking us in because of what Jesus did. He's taking us in because of the righteousness of Jesus and all that he made available to us, and that he was destroyed so that God didn't have to destroy us. In John 2:19, Jesus answered them. He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Jesus was destroyed. Now, in my book, 7 Days with Jesus, in the chapter on the Feast of First Fruits, which we just passed, it was on the day of Easter this year, just past that time, a couple weeks ago. We have this passage in there in my book, 7 Days with Jesus. We talk about the difference between destroying and building. The difference between destroying and building, two opposites. And it talks about how the word used for son, when God tells Solomon, "Solomon, you're going to be a son to me." Now notice, we're not servants of God anymore. We are his servants, but we're also his children. We're his sons, his children. And the definition in Hebrew, what is a son in that word Hebrew? What does the word son mean? It means a builder of the family name. A builder of the family name. Jesus was destroyed for us so that we didn't have to be, so that we could be builders of the family name, building God's reputation. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this. We're asking for insight and revelation. I feel like there's more to us that you're trying to show us about this today. Insight and revelation and wisdom and knowledge of how to walk in this, what you're teaching us here today. That Jesus was destroyed. I think of the destroyer going through Egypt, wiping out all of the firstborn. God has the power to destroy. And Jesus was destroyed so that we could be builders. And we're just so thankful for that. We're asking for insight and wisdom and revelation into this. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. He was destroyed. He was betrayed by his own people, rejected by his people. All that he suffered on the cross, he was destroyed by God. But then on the third day, he was raised back to life. And that same victorious power over death lives on the inside of us now. We can be builders of the family name, building together with God in partnership with him now. It's truly an amazing thing. So Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness and brings us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God, this covenant relationship with him. And that's what it's all about. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some health and fitness stuff. In the health and fitness world, I think there's two different ways to approach how we take care of our bodies. One school of thought, if you look at the world of health and fitness, especially fitness, people talk about destroying the body. They talk about working the body so hard, working muscle groups so hard that they're pretty much just destroying the body with the hope that it's going to build back stronger. But they talk about destroying the body. I think there's two different approaches. We can destroy the body or we can build the body. We can destroy it or we can build it. Building the body is a different approach than destroying. We're going to nourish it and care for it and build it. Yes, we're going to remove the things that don't need to be there, but we're going to nourish and care for it and build the body rather than destroy it. And just taking a different approach to how we look at things with our health and fitness. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.